Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, 9,000 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August the 16th, 2014, or it is 8/21/2018. We will start our third service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, Rescue the Perishing. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Yahshua the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Though they are sighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent, the child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, he will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings like the burden that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for the labor the Yah will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently wend them, tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Okay, the City of David, Part 3. We're going to continue on now. We're dealing with 1 Kings chapter 13. And we're dealing with now Vertus W. Johnson's letter, also to me, relating to the same subject here of Matthew, 1 Kings 13. For the changing of the guard by the Elijah David, September the 6th, 2002. Remember, we had the atonement on September the 16th, 10 days later. And this is, I'm answering the letter that Brother Johnson had written to me earlier. I believe it was August the 10th, of 2002. And I'm answering his letter by interspacing my comments in between his letter. So it says, my comments. For the Vertus W. Johnson, pastor of the Apostolic Sabbatarian Sanctuary, is with the asking of the question about the changing of the guard for the second time in the space of a year. For the Holy Spirit spoke unto me on a Sabbath afternoon upon the entering of the sanctuary for the beginning of the Sabbath services. For the message of the Holy Spirit is with the revealing of the information for the changing of the guard. For the discussion of this information with the Vertus W. Johnson is with a quick response. What is the changing of the guard, Brother Bronken? Did the Holy Spirit tell you how this change would take place and who it involved? Answer, yes. For the changing of the guard is with the removal of the Joshua's filthy garments, which is the sins of the congregation, and that the ones holding responsible positions in the church that are unsanctified will be changed unto those who come through the atonement and have their sins blotted out. Okay, this is according to Brother Johnson's dismissal letter to me of August 10th, 2002. His remarks will be written in italics. Okay, a change of the guard, John. This is Brother Johnson's writing. Now, I addressed it as a change of the guard, not guards, more than one. But Brother Johnson, he can never quote you word for word or letter for letter. He's always got the did sort of sound good for his side, because I was referring to only one guard when Yahweh told me there's going to be a changing of the guard starting at the Passover 2002. Page 1, paragraph 1. A few weeks ago, this is Brothers talking, I began hearing from Denton Brunken that there would be a change of the guard, so I asked him the meaning of the phrase, whom it was and what it was, but received no answer. Common sense shows that the change of a leader is not the answer to this question. For the information in the first paragraph, for the explaining of the change of the guard, is with the self-explanation. Now, this is me talking. And when I said for the information in the first paragraph, is the explaining of the change of the guard is with the self-explanation. There is no changing of the leaders, only removal of the filthy garments. For the enabling of the Joshua for the receiving of the fair mitre upon his head, and for the purging of his iniquity. For the enabling of the Joshua for the continuing of his leadership in the purified kingdom, for the fulfilling of the Zechariah 3:1-4. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of Elohim, and Satan stand at his right hand to resist him. And Yahweh said unto Satan, Yahweh rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Yahweh that has chosen Yahushua rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with a filthy garment, and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Prophets and Kings, page 583, paragraph 3, in filthy garments symbolizing the sins of the people, which he bears as a representative. He stands before the angel, confessing their guilt, yet pointing to their repentance and humiliation, and relying upon the mercy of the sin-pardoned Redeemer, in the faith he claims the promises of the Yahweh. Then the angel, who is Yahshua himself, as a savior of the sinners, puts to the silence the accuser of his people, declaring, for the Yahweh rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Yahweh that has chosen Yahushua rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? As the intercession of the Joshua is accepted, the command is given, take away the filthy garments from him. And under Joshua the angel says, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. His own sins and those of his people were pardoned. Israel was clothed with a change of raiment, the righteous Yahshua imputed unto them. The mitre placed upon Joshua's head was such as was worn by the priest and bore the inscription, Holiness of Yahweh, signifying that notwithstanding his former transgressions, he was now qualified to minister before Elohim in his sanctuary. For the angel now declared unto Joshua, this angel is talking to Joshua, the son of Josedek. Now keep in mind that Verlus is claiming to be this Joshua, but he has the title of Joshua, the son of Nun, coming out of 1970, and he has to stick with that. He can't change that. Heaven can't change it. It's in the type and antitype. It's in the prophecy. Verlus Johnson tried to change it to him being this Joshua, the son of Josedek, in Zechariah 3, with the filthy garments. So Brother Johnson is claiming, all I'm doing is just quoting Zechariah 3 to you, and this is who Brother Johnson is claiming to be. So let's see how it stacks up. Now the angel Yahshua now declared unto Joshua, the son of Joseph, that thus saith the Yahshua of the host, if thou wilt walk in my ways, or you say Yahweh of the host, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. If obedient, he should be honored as a judge or ruler over the temple and all his services. He should walk among attending angels, even in this life, and that he should join the glorified throne around the throne of Yahweh. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch, verse 8, and the branch the deliverer to come and lay the hope of Israel. It was by the faith in the coming Savior that Joshua and his people received pardon. Through faith in the Yahweh, they had been restored to the Yahweh's favor by the virtue of his merits. If they walked in his way and kept his statutes, they would be men wondered at, honored as the chosen heaven among the nations of the earth. Now keep in mind, as I'm reading this to you, this is a copy of my letter that I sent back to Brother W. Johnson in 2002, September the 6th. And that was just 10 days before the atonement. And 10 days before the atonement, September the 6th, is a new moon Sabbath. Because it's 10 days to the atonement from the first day of the seventh month. Okay? So on a new moon Sabbath, I sent this to Brother Johnson. And so, if you're wondering about what I said and what I did, if Alvin has any questions, all you got to do is read and listen to this tape. I'm giving it word for word for what transpired between me and Brother. Now here's Brother's talking. Last paragraph on page 2 of this letter. As time went on, I heard more rumors about the change of the guards, but I didn't think much about it. Then on Sunday afternoon, July the 14th, 2002, my wife, I, and Denton and Duncan were driving our car and were returning from a short trip, and all of a sudden, Denton spoke out in a stern, commanding voice to me, saying, I've already went through this on the first tape to you, but I'll go ahead and read it, and then I'll give you my answer. The Lord told me to tell you to sit up to 9 o'clock, this is me talking to Brothers, and to 3 p.m. worship in the church on all holy days, and in the homes on all other days. Yahweh speaks to me just like he speaks to you, Brother Jay. Well, I never said that. I never did ever even think it, let alone speak it, but this is another one of them lies that Rodas has to embellish the subject in order to make him look good all the time when he's totally in the wrong. And so he says, and that Rodas Johnson is saying that I'm saying that the Yahweh speaks to me just like he speaks to you, Brother Jay. Yahweh told me to tell you to move the web page from Roddy's house to mine, or Denton's house, where it belongs, so that he and Kay could run it. Rodney is not qualified because they don't come to church all the time, and Rodney and Nikki don't dress properly as the rules call for. The material that Daniel brings for current events is not kosher. Daniel, Rebecca, Rodney, Nikki, and Amy are coordinations and abomins. And of course, I said they were as the coordinations in the bomb. And not only that, but I said that Laura May was the first name I mentioned. And that that chorus of names that I mentioned there, she was the first name I put on her. And I told this directly to her, not Votus anyway. She was sitting right there, and Votus was sitting right there, and he's a witness. I turned to her and I said, and Laura May, I've got a message for you. You, Daniel, Rebecca, Rodney, Nikki, and Amy are as the coordinations and abomins, and should be eliminated. And boy, that's a hard lick to hit the wife right there in front of her husband. Should be eliminated. Denton then the verse says, Denton turned around to Laura Mae in the back seat saying, you better obey my counsel, for this is from the Yahweh. Now this sounds strange because I was already looking at Laura Mae over the seat as I was delivering her this message. And I didn't have to say any more than what I just said. I just said that Yahweh told me that you, Laura Mae, is a ringleader of this group of the rebellion against the truth and against your husband. I said, you all are in a warfare against your husband. And I said, you and Daniel, Rebecca, Rodney, Mickey, and Amy are all as a coordination and a bomb and should be eliminated. Well, you know something? As I remember it now, I did not say and tell her that they should be eliminated. I didn't say that at all. That was added by Brother Johnson. When I told him earlier, as I read to you, I said, you are to fire. You are to fire Rodney and so forth. And that's as far as I went to getting dismissing anybody from their position. And I never said they should be eliminated. If I did, I don't remember it. I don't ever think that way when I'm delivering a message from heaven. Yahweh determines when and where they should be eliminated. I just show them where that they're all wrong and playing a wrong role. Denton turned around to the Lord, man in the back seat, saying, you better obey my counsel. Obey his counsel. Well, that's the furthest thing from my mind is to even giving them any counsel. They wanted my opinion. I said, I don't have opinion. Then when I give a message from heaven, they called it my counsel. My comment on the Sunday afternoon, July the 14th, 2002, is with the driving of the car for the Rose and Laura Mae Johnson on a little ship for the taking care of a small problem. On the return back of the short trip, Laura Mae Johnson is with the expression of her views, concerning the problems that they were having, which I am not at liberty to discuss, and a point made being made by the Laura Mae Johnson, our problems are like unto the Job's problem, where the enemy is threatened to bring them down. They then asked me for my comments on their situation, which I answered. And the first thing I said that I didn't write here was that when she said they had the trouble of Job, I said, no, Job was a righteous man. And then he said, yes, I have a comment, I told him. I have a message from heaven, Brother Johnson. I have a secret from Yahweh. Can you keep a secret? Yeah, I asked him that question. And I quoted Amos 3:7, surely the Yahweh Elohim will do nothing but he revealeth his secret unto his servant, the prophet. So that should have told Brother Johnson something right there, that Yahweh is recognizing me as not only his servant to deliver a message to his appointed prophet in charge of the candlestick of his church, but also that he was, this subject being the change in the guard, this should have been a hint to Brother W. Johnson when I was quoting this message from heaven, and I was quoting Amos 3:7. I should have, Brother Johnson should have taken that as a direct information from heaven showing where Yahweh had another servant that he was going to give the change of the guard to, and that would be typically Elijah David. But unbeknownst to me at that time, Brother Johnson was also claiming to have this office of King David. And I'm going to read that to you in another letter that he wrote in a little two-page column declaring who he was and what his commissions were. One of them was antithetical David, and I hadn't seen that until I got that article out today. Prophet, priest, and king. He was saying that he was a prophet Joshua, the son of Josedek. He's saying that he was a priest, this Joshua, the son of Josedek, also the priest, the title that he had. And he was saying he had the priestly title of Yahshua. He had the title of a priest, the same as Yahshua. And he had the kingly role as the King David. Okay. Brother Johnson responded with, yes, I want to hear what Yahweh's secret is. I said, it is really not a secret. because you've already at one time instituted the nine and the three, as well as the church's constitution. So my message to you is from the Yahweh right now at this moment. He spoke and told me to tell you all the words from his mouth and not to hold back anything, because you're not having Job's trials, but all your problems have come upon you for not enforcing the 9 and the 3 p.m. the daily and the church's constitution, which is self-evident. For the members of the church are not following the constitution. I said, Yahweh said to restore the 9 a.m. and the 3 p.m. on the holy days and in the homes of the members. For this will be a start of the establishing of the true worship once again, which will be the third time. If you do it this time, it will be the third attempt to establish true worship in a 32-year period. This is not something new. This is something that he had told you a long time ago to do. You taught this along with the setting up of the civil government and the church. And then you wrote the tract, You Are a Lawbreaker. And in that tract, on page 6, paragraph 4, you state, the daily service consisted of the morning and evening burnt offering, the offering of the sweet incense on the golden altar, and the special offering for the individual sin. Now, this is Brother Johnson writing his tract and sent it directly to the Adventists. I helped hand it out at the Adventist churches. Brother Johnson is indicting the Adventists as lawbreakers because they were not observing the daily, the 9 o'clock and the 3 o'clock, after light had come on in 1970. And they were being held responsible now to do the daily from the 9 o'clock and the 3 o'clock because of the light that had come to the church now through his writing. So now, and then here's Brother Johnson talking some more. Let's see. In his tract, You Are a Lawbreaker. And there are also offerings for Sabbath, new moons, and special feast days. Every morning and evening, a lamb of a year old was burned upon the altar. So see, Brother Johnson was showing that they had morning and evening back during the law of Moses, thus symbolizing the daily consecration of the nation. So what would Brother Johnson be symbolizing by upholding the daily and practicing it? If none else but by himself, with him and his wife on a daily basis, what would that symbolize? It would symbolizing the daily consecration of the nation. So Vertus Johnson would be daily consecrating the Adventist church as a nation, like Daniel did when he was in Babylonian captivity. He prayed 3 times toward Jerusalem, and he prayed for Yahweh to forgive his people. He said, forgive us of our sin. Daniel included him in that group of sinners. He said, forgive us our sins and our trespasses. And show mercy unto us. And forgive us. And take us back again. This is what the daily was for. Okay? You know now. Then what would Brother Johnson be doing? He'd be consecrating the nation of Israel twice a day, every day. He would be, as the role of his title called for as a prophet, he'd be upholding his office by interceding with intercessory prayer for the backslidden nation of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the Davidian. He would be an intercessor. That's what Daniel was, an intercessor. 3 times a day, intercessor. Now this is what the Brother Johnson is showing at the Adventists in this tract, You Are a Lawbreaker. The most important part of the daily ministration was a service performed in behalf of the individual. Patriarchs and Prophets 354. In this custom, Christians have an example for the morning and evening prayer. Yahweh looks with a great pleasure upon those who love him, bowing morning and evening to seek pardon for sin committed and to present their request for a needed blessing. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 354. Here he is quoting Ellen G. White. These are times when his blood flows afresh. Okay, now, Boris Johnson, in 1974, when he made that false prediction that we were going to stand on the Mount Zion of the Lamb in the land of Israel on the day of Pentecost, and it didn't work out. First thing he said, and the excuse he made was, I'm never again going to use Sister White and Vicky Hollis Friday to try to harmonize his mind. Not going to do that anymore, he said. And here he is right here. He's forced to use Ellen G. White's writing. He's forced to use Vicky Hollis writing. And yet he makes these tongue-in-cheek statements at different times. When something don't work out in his predictions, then he got to blame the spirit of prophecy by Ellen G. White and Vicky Hollis for his mistake. So is it any wonder then why he blamed me instead of the one that was real cause of his problem? It was his wife and his own bosom. He always had to have blamed somebody. So it says, in this custom, it says, of the 9 o'clock and the 3 o'clock, Christians have an example from morning and evening prayer. Elohim looks with a great pleasure upon those who love him, bowing morning and evening to seek pardon for sins committed and to present the request for the needed blessing. These are times when his blood flows afresh. What if Brother Johnson had to call me every day? I just lived 8/10 of a mile from him. And I was semi-retired, living most of the time right there at home in Kermit, Texas, with him, where they live. And how many times my wife entreated him to have prayer meetings at least once a week. And he would start prayer meetings and he'd stop them. He'd start them and stop them. And he would tell me and my wife, well, nobody's coming. And I said, well, my wife and I are coming. Are we anybody? He didn't look upon me and my wife as being anybody. Because nobody else was coming, he shut down the prayer meeting. My wife and I were coming. Okay. Brother Johnson's quote, let's continue now. Same pamphlet, next paragraph. God again attempted to restore the divinely ordained system of the worship with his laws and services, feast days in 1888-1890, but this failed. Why? Because the General Conference men saw that they would have to teach all the sanctuary system with all those feast days. And they had preached that they were all on earth to cross just as they are doing today when the message has come again to them. Now, I want to say something. Brother Johnson restored the daily with the feast days in 1970. And he was willing to teach all that the message called for and to teach the church to do it. But you know what? As light continued to open up more and more as we went along the way, it was showing where we were going to have to make, we were developing into a theocracy, a church and state, a civil and a religious organization called a theocracy. And that there was a call for one ruler, one king, to arbitrate the laws of the civil laws and the laws of Moses, of the people. In other words, he saw that he's going to have to enforce some civil laws now. In other words, if anybody got caught breaking the laws of the daily, then they would have to pay a penalty, and he told them so. They'd have to start paying penalty of money. They'd be fined so much for the breaking, and they'd have to come and make an offering and to get their sins taken away. Well, boy, this is just too much. And Roderick Johnson, when that light came to him on that in late in the 70s, his wife went to him and said, you know, you can't enforce those civil laws. If you do, you're going to put our son Daniel out of business. Because he's employing about four men, and they can't take off on the 9 and 3 o'clock every day. And they can't do this. And you can't make them pay a fine every time you think that they didn't do something right. And blah, blah, blah. So they said, well, I guess you're right. I guess we better just call this whole thing off this daily and stop teaching it and stop practicing it, and that's what he did. But he still had that tract, You Are a Lawbreaker, that was available for the Adventists. And the Adventists had it in their hands by the hundreds. We handed out hundreds of those tracts. Adventists had that tract. Now here Brother Johnson was telling them that they had to be obedient to this system or be cut off and be termed as lawbreakers and commit the unpardonable sin and all that. And then here he comes along and he does worse than them. Hypocritical. Like the Pharisees in Matthew 23. Don't do as I do as I say do. Okay. So anyway, it says, Denton Brunken's comment. You know that Yahweh told you, Brother Stubby Johnson, in front of witnesses, that my wife and Gary Martin were to head up the website because it was decided that it would be formulated in the noun format, which is a David Windmiller's new question of the English language, that we would incorporate that into where it was needed and belonged to make a more correct, a better understanding of what we were reading and studying and teaching, and that we would interject the prepositions where they belong and the articles where they belong. But somebody had to have a knowledge how to do this, and my wife and I felt the burden to learn this new format. And it's a good thing we did, because we saved Brother Johnson and the church's property from losing all of the church's property and Brother Johnson's personal property of his houses and cars and everything else, because we had learned this noun format. And we had to go through the federal court system to retrieve all of Gilead Center's property that Brother Johnson had lost through a default because of what he did, how he compromised the church's property and picked up his collateral for his derelict son's venture into the worldly enterprise. And because of that, Yahweh sent me this knowledge on the English, the correct English language format, so that we could cross-file the lawsuit with the federal government and win an acquittal, and which we did. And yet, Brother Johnson kicks me out of the church because he said that I'm a devil and an enemy, and that the devil sent me in there for 32 years to victimize his family and the church, and so forth. So anyway, Denton Brunken's comment, you know that Yahweh told you in front of witnesses that my wife and Gary Martin were to head up the website because they decided that it would be formatted in a noun format. Well, the noun format is a new technology that was sent to the church to save the church from losing all of its property. Your church, as secretary, Amy DeLong, rebelled against the noun format, saying that she did not believe it was new light sent to the church, that it had nothing to do with returning the people a pure language. Zephaniah 3:9. You asked my wife if she would take the job of learning the computer so that she could sit at your office and be available most of the time when you needed her. Your secretary, Amy DeLong, had another job and she was not available, plus she was not willing to type it the way you want it done in the noun format, as she felt like that I was influencing you to do it that way, and she was totally against me and anything that I had to contribute to the church, and so therefore she's unwilling to be your office secretary because of this. At this time, Gary Martin from the Washington State, a former member of our church, came back by the Spirit after being gone for about 4 years. But Gary Martin is a computer man. He had 3 weeks on his hand. At the time he came in, you were considering sending my wife to computer school. We asked Gary if he would be willing to teach my wife as much as he could in 3 weeks. Shortly after this, we started on the noun law procedure to save the church's property. Amy said that she would not type anything in the noun format. She said she would do it in the verb fiction or not at all. I said Rodney is not qualified because they do not come to church half the time. You are to fire Rodney as webmaster. Okay. And he is not qualified to handle the word of Yahweh. He does not command his household after him. He does not set an example. I said, Rodney shaves his beard and comes to church dressed in street clothes. His wife dresses like a harlot, which is a violation of the church's constitution, and you say nothing about it. Okay. Volume 5, page 355, paragraph 2, by the Ellen G. White. Many need instruction as to how they should appear in the assembly for their worship on the Sabbath. They are not to enter the presence of the Yahweh in their common clothing worn during the week. All should have a special Sabbath suit to be worn when attending services in the Yahweh's house. While we should not conform to worldly fashions, we are not to be indifferent in regard to our outward appearances. Our outward appearance, we are to be neat and trim, though without adornment. For the children of Elohim should be pure within and without. Okay. You have made the webmaster, this is Elijah Davis still talking, unsanctified and unconverted people are giving... Oh, no, you have made him the webmaster. You have made, I guess, Rodney, your grandson, your webmaster. Unsanctified and unconverted people are given the highest position of sacred trust for the propagating of the gospel unto the world. Bringing Elohim's sacred word down to the common level of man, you are to return the website back to my house where Yahweh had originally given you to place it. This is my command to him concerning the website. I said, Brother Johnson, you really have lost all credibility with the church members, including your family members. It all started when you detoured from going to Austin, to Midland, to back to your son's business, to backing your son David in a business venture. I said at that time, one of the church members, the husband of your church secretary, said you were given the trumpet, an uncertain sound, that you had lost a lot of credibility. I said that this is the latest information from them. I told them if they didn't want it told, don't tell me, because I'll go to Brother Johnson and tell him everything. This brother said it is the truth. I don't mind you telling the truth, I said, but Brother Johnson, I am the best friend that you have. Recently, while visiting with the DeLongs on a Sabbath afternoon for several hours, we had supposedly come into the unity at the Passover. For the unity was consummated at the Pentecost with the anointing of the 12, in which I was one of them. Amy told me that they had gotten with Rodney, Daniel, Rebecca, and discussed Brother Johnson's deterioration, physically, of both mind and body, and that it was just a matter of time that he would have to take a back seat during some small writing and advising. He has brought forth more than enough truth and light that haven't even been put out to the people. While critiquing the latest tract of the untold story, they said that there are some things in there that are not right. Amy said that she discussed this with Rodney, the webmaster, and Daniel and Rebecca, his mother and dad. They agreed with the one consent that they would correct the errors in the prophet's writing and then put it on the website. They would not put anything on the website that they believe was inaccurate. Now, there's something I left out of here. And the main thing I should have put in there was Alan DeLong was in on this with his wife, Rebecca. A meeting with Alan was with his wife, Amy, meeting with Rodney, and Daniel and Rebecca on revising and taking over Brother Johnson's ministry at the Atonement of 2002. Because Alan told me and Amy told me one day when I was visiting them in their home after church, they said that, wonder what I thought about Brother Johnson being able to continue on after the Atonement of 2002, and I said, well, there's going to have to be a miracle take place. They said, well, we have enough evidence to know that he will not be able to continue. past the atonement. Well, can you tell me what that is? They said, no, they couldn't, and they wouldn't. Well, I found out after we separated and got moved down here, I found out what it was. All the time. Brother Johnson was caught in a compromised position with Allen's wife one time at the clinic. And his wife, Brother Johnson's wife, Laura May, caught him in a compromised position in a locked room with Amy unclothed and Brother Johnson attacking her. And so Laura May, the wife, is the one that caught that little situation. But Amy was the one that confessed it to her husband, saying that she was innocent, that Brother Johnson, it was all him attacking her. And Brother Johnson had locked the door in the treatment room, and that he had disrobed her, and he had taken after her to have sex with her. Now, that was the part that Alan was referring to that said that they had enough evidence to know that Brother Johnson could not go past the atonement. That's why they were planning to take over the 11th Hour ministry. And Alan was going to be the head elder. He's going to be the head minister because he was the one that had more understanding of the truth than Daniel or Rodney, any of them. Alan was going to be the head man. The only thing that stood in their way was Denton Brunken. The only thing that stood in the way of Alan and Amy pulling off this little job of taking over Vertus Johnson's job at the Atonement of 2002 was Denton Brunken. That's the reason why they finally, I was the last one that they wanted to talk to about this situation. They felt like they needed to talk to me about it, but they didn't tell me what I just told you. The reason why that they knew that Verlis Johnson was not continuing on. And so Verlis Johnson is in a compromised position now. That's the reason why whenever he had to make a choice between my wife, the website moving to her place, or Amy DeLong, he insisted on moving it to Amy DeLong's place. This is after he had tried to have sex with her in the clinic, maybe a year earlier. And she was out of sorts with him, and she didn't want to be around him. She didn't want Brother Johnson in her house. She didn't want him ever coming over seeing her while she's by herself in the daytime. Nobody knew this. Only guy knew this was Laura Mae Johnson, the wife, and Alan DeLong, and Amy. Four people knew what was going on. And so, this is what they tried to keep secret from me. And they did, until we got separated down there. But Yahweh put me in charge of that separation down there. And that's why Alan DeLong didn't have no choice then but to separate from his wife. And he saw where the inspiration was going to. He saw the way it was going. So Alan made the right decision. He came with me, separated from his wife, divorced her, had to give up all the his property to her, half of it or more. And she just cleaned him out. And he went with me, and Amy went with Brother W. Johnson's group. She didn't go with Brother, she went with Daniel that was going to take over from Brother. So since Alan wasn't going to be there to be the head man to take over at the separation, now they decided Daniel was going to be the one that was going to succeed his father and be the head elder and so forth. Well, you know how the rest of it goes. So now, I'm going to continue on with this letter. Now comes Laura Mae Johnson. She said, well, we will just call Rodney in and have a little talk with him. See, I told the Johnsons about what the plans were with Alan and Amy and Daniel and Roddy taking over the website and taking over the Brother Johnson's ministry. And so she said, well, we just have to call Rodney in and have a little talk with him, and we will explain to him and the rest of them that Brother Johnson's works is to be published just the way it was written, because it was written under the inspiration. I said, no, Laura Mae Johnson, Brother Johnson is the prophet, and he is to pray about it first, and then call Rodney in and ask him if this is true or not. Laura Mae again said, we will call Rodney in and get it straightened out. Rodney has worked hard on the website for about a year and has done a beautiful job. I said true, but Rodney is unsanctified and unconverted, disqualifying him for the job. So we moved the web page and put it where it was originally intended. I said, now, Lama, I have a message from Yahweh for you also. This is not from me. This message is from Yahweh through me unto you. You are never again to put the scissors upon Brother Johnson's beard that is off limits unto you. That takes away from his image, and it is his glory. When I stood up in the church on July the 27th, in that 2 hours that I had taken over the church to read them the Riot Act, this is one of the things that I mentioned right off. It was Laura May putting the scissors on Brother Johnson's beard. And Alan said, whenever I mentioned that and brought that up, he said he knew that I was telling the truth and that he was going to listen to the rest of it. So I'll go ahead and read now. You take away, this is me talking to Laura May, you take away from his demeanor. It is wrong. Brother Johnson has a beautiful full beard, and when it is long, it gives him a majestic look. I reemphasize that matter of fact, he is not to do it for himself. I said, I am convicted for myself that this is wrong. I will never put the scissors upon my beard again unless the time comes that it is deemed necessary. And that time has never come. My comment, one day I walked into Brother Johnson's house and Laura May took a pair of scissors and held them down behind her back and at her side and walked up to me with a smile, which was unusual, and reached out and took a hold of the end of my beard and quickly raised the scissors and whacked off the end of my beard. It happened so quickly that I didn't have time to even react. I stepped back, and she made another gesture to continue trimming my beard. I said, no, no, I don't let anyone trim my beard. I trim my own beard if it has to be trimmed, but I don't trim my beard anymore. Here, give me the scissors. And I went into the bathroom and had to straighten out my beard, which she had marred. Okay, end of comment. I said also to Laura May, the church is still divided just like it was at the Passover. I said, you, Amy, Daniel, Rebecca, Rodney, and Nikki are on the one side. I said, Brother Johnson, Alan, Che, and myself are on the other side because Brother Johnson has not rejected the noun format, and for that reason he has to be on the side of those who have rejected any new life that has come to the church. And up to that point, Brother Johnson hadn't rejected any new life that I had given him, including the noun format, because he was learning it day and night and incorporating it into his sermons until Amy DeLong questioned one day in church and put the pressure on him that to make a statement. Was it me pressuring him to do that, or was it the new light come from heaven? She wanted to know. And Brother Johnson could not answer her that it was new light from heaven, and so therefore he lost the ball game there. I said, remember you said at one time, I don't believe a word of it. Darmay says, you'll never get a dime from that, and I don't believe a word of it. My comment, at the last Passover when Brother Johnson raised his hand and said, I have a message for you from Yahweh, this just came to me while I was standing here. He said that Yahweh was going to send the Holy Spirit to do for us what we have not been able to do for ourselves the past 32 years. The Holy Spirit is going to unite the congregation. He held his right hand up and said, I am going to pronounce a blessing on this group on my right. Then he held up his left hand to bless those on the left. This was the two divided groups in the church. I said, we are still divided today. There are still two groups today. The one group is Amy. And Amy, Daniel, Rebecca, Ronnie, Nikki, and Laura Mae Johnson. I said, that's the group that divides the other group. The last thing I told Brother Johnson was that Yahweh said to bring no more vain old blessings. That was what I reminded him of after I gave him that message from heaven, driving down the highway on my way back home that day when I said that 8 miles from from Kermit, I said, oh yes, I would be remiss in my duties if I don't give you this last statement that heaven gave me. I forgot it. It says, bring no more vain oblation into the house of Yahweh. And he means no more. Cease and desist. I did not know where the scripture was, but when I got home that evening, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Go to Isaiah chapter 1, for it was the one that Brother Johnson used about 4 years ago at the Solemn Assembly. It was Isaiah 1:13. Bring no more vain oblation. At this time, the church had been closed down for a month because of Brother Johnson's broken hip, and he could not conduct services. Apparently, Brother Johnson did not believe me when I said, bring no more vain oblations into the house of Yahweh, because he resumed services in the church as usual. And on the fourth service, he had prepared a court-martial document, and he was going to court-martial me. Everyone in the church knew about it, except my wife and I. You see, Brother Johnson could not refute what I told him, that Yahweh had given me a message for them, from Yahweh. Everything I told Brother Johnson could be backed up by the scripture and the law and the testimony, Isaiah 20, prophetic history, and tapping and attack. Most of the things that I told him, Yahweh had already told him to institute by the law years ago, and it is written in his tracts and recorded by his voice on the tapes in the tape library. But the material that Daniel brings for the current events is not kosher. The material that Daniel brings is secular and should not be brought into the church. That's why it says in Volume 6 of the Testimonies, page 355, paragraph 3, bottom of page, before the setting of the sun, let all secular work be laid aside and all secular papers be put out of their sight. And I will say right now, folks, this is a problem even with us today here in the kingdom. We're having to be careful. We're having to come up more and more all the time about choosing what we watch on the internet in the way of current news, that we need to know what's breaking news in the world, and just reading secular stuff, which is very tempting. We're working on that very hard to eliminate all of it. My comment after reading the whole letter from Brother Johnson throwing me out of the church, I have to admit I was greatly concerned, but not distraught. For any practicing a Christian would have horrors and nightmares if he truly believed that he was forever lost and condemned to eternal hell, fire, and damnation. You see, I have learned to recognize the voice of my Heavenly Father for the past 32 years, even when I took a detour and ventured into the Valley of the Shadow of Death for a period of time during the 1980s, and believing that I had a divine call and taught by the Brother Johnson under the inspiration that Elohim's children know when they have been called by an holy calling. Being preordained from the foundation of the world gave me courage. Okay. Well, we were reminded by the Brother Johnson through the years that David in the scriptures, after he was anointed king, committed great sin. He committed murder, adultery, numbered Israel, which cost the lives of 70,000 souls, but he did not commit the unpardonable sin. So when he was made aware of his great sins, he repented of them, and the Heavenly Father forgave him and blotted out all of his sins, after which Yahweh said that David was a man after my own heart. But that's the way I felt like, out of all the many sins that I've committed over the years. And I don't mind admitting that there's nobody that has ever been born in this world is born without ever having some way committed sin, at least one, except Yahshua the Messiah. And there could be some others. I'm not saying that Enoch wasn't one of them. I'm saying that he very possibly was one of those that was born without ever having committed sin. That's when he was taken right into heaven when his mission on earth was done. Maybe. All right, Desire of Ages. It's page 323. Page 1. Closely connected with the Yahshua's warning in regard to the sin against the Holy Spirit is a warning against idle and evil words. The words are an indication of that which is in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But the words are more than an indication of the character. They have power to react on the character. Men are influenced by their own words, often under a momentary impulse prompted by the Satan. They give utterance unto jealousy or evil surmising, expressing that which they do not really believe. But the expression reacts on the thoughts. They are deceived by their words and come to believe that the true true, which was spoken at the Satan's instigation. Having once expressed an opinion or a decision, they are often too proud to retract it and try to prove themselves in the right until they come to believe that they are. It is dangerous to utter a word of doubt, dangerous to question and criticize divine light. For the habit of the careless and irreverent criticism reacts upon the character in the fostering irreverence and unbelief. Many a man indulged in this habit has gone on unconscious of the danger until he was ready to criticize and reject the work of the Holy Spirit. Yahshua said, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. As you know, I have so sad to have to say that the 12 years that Alan has been with us since we left Kermit has been years of self-condemnation and criticism, and especially of my leadership. He's never taken responsibility for one wrong act of his own. Never once admitted, acknowledged one wrong. And everything he has done since we've been here has all been wrong. Because he did it by his own judgment and his own pernicious feelings. And it's just so sad. It's just so sad to have to realize that's the way it's been. But yet we had patience with it. We thought, I'm going to tell you something. He already told me when we came down here. I saw the handwriting on the wall between us. I saw the way it was going. I saw how it was going to end up. And I said then, I said, as Brother Johnson had 33 and a half years, the same time as the life of Yahshua the Messiah had on this earth, that was, if Brother Johnson was any antithetical time of that. And I said, so he's going to give Alan DeLong 33 and a half years, just like he gave Brothers. He's going to give him 33 and a half years to see if he can't get it straightened out. And sure enough, in his 33rd year with us, he's gone, just like I have prophesied. I prophesied, not directly to him, but I prophesied to my wife over and over again through the years that this is what we're looking at. And sure enough, it has come to pass. So sad. But you have these Judases and you have these Achans in every household and every church. And this is what Brother Johnson preached and said. And he was preaching at me one day, but it turned out that there was plenty of Achans down there. But thank Yahweh, he didn't call me, and I wasn't preordained to fulfill the antithetical role of the Achan. And so that brings the close of our study. This hour, you can contact us at the 11th hour call. And if number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close this study now with a song. Ivory Palaces. Yah has gone so wondrous fine. Another texture filled, his fragrance reached this heart of mine. With joy my being thrilled, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Only his great eternal love made my Savior go. His life had also its sorrow sore, for all those had a part. And when I think of the cross he bore, my eyes with teardrops start. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. His garments too were in Cassia dipped,
with healing hand a touch. Each time my feet in some sin have slipped, He took me from its clutch. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only His great eternal love made my Savior go. In garments glorious He will come to open wide the door, and I shall enter my heavenly home to dwell forevermore. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only His great eternal love made my Savior go.